Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's a drunken soiree in the within.
Chris and Stu present Hardcore Listing, the podcast.
Hello and welcome to Hardcore Listing Podcast. I am one half of your presenting duo. I'm Stu Whiffin, sitting opposite me, as ever, dishevelled, tired, haggard, part worn, Chris Glasson.
All right, there is a part of me that's part worn. But
before we...
That's rude.
Yeah, I mean, we'll pick up on that because I guess we shouldn't literally, within 4 seconds, start discussing your knob. Because this could be the first time people are listening to this podcast. If they are, Chris, explain to them what they're what they get from Hardcore Listing.
Hardcore Listing is a podcast where we talk about my knob for 50 minutes. It's basically what we do is we pick a top five. Sometimes we have guests on or a guest, or sometimes we ask the listeners to throw out a top five. It might be top five embarrassing childhood stories. Top five, we always say sandwich fillings, I don't know why. And then we go deep, we go in on it, don't we? We've been doing it for about 4 years now, off the back of Scroobius Pip's drunk cast, and actually we just recorded one, which was an absolute blast. And my girlfriend wasn't too embarrassed about listening to this one so far, but I think only two parts have been released. So
yeah, you come into your own in 3 and 4.
Thanks, mate, thank you. So yeah, that's the format, mate, and it's just, yeah, it's lovely to be here with you. In
Absolutely, I bet it is.
Utility room.
So, before we go any further, we should just say thank you to our sponsors.
Moto
Recall. Right, I want to tell you about our sponsor, Moto Recall.
Yes, it's one of those lifestyle utility apps that every phone should have.
It's got the practical, the nostalgia, and the dream. From 18 to 118, there is something for you. It's what you make it.
Day-to-day reminders of tax and MOT on your cars you've in your current garage. For one, sometimes been driving around in my car not being MOT because I forgot. So it's a bit of a lifesaver.
Absolutely. I mean, never buy a second-hand car without knowing the history. You know, provenance. Moto Recall makes sure you aren't caught out by allowing you to perform a full provenance check on the vehicle. With just the car reg, is there outstanding finance? Has it been in an accident? Is the mileage legit? You'll get the full picture, powered by experience, with a data guarantee.
I wish I'd had that in the past. And with this app as well, you can build your historic garage with photos and data that you can not only look back on for yourself, but you can share it with your mates. You know, every car has a memory. You used to have that Cat in the Hat car. I'd love to have seen that.
I mean, if you don't have an historic garage, like, build out your dream garage. You know, what has caught your eye? What are you dreaming of owning?
And the best bit is free. Up to 50 cars and provenance checks are pay as you go when you need them. Experian aren't as nice as the Moto Recall team, of course.
Download the app for free. Search Moto Recall in your app store. MOTORECALL. Moto Recall in your app store. Hello, this is Chaz from Love Beer. And I'm here to tell you about why I sponsor Hardcore Listening and what love-beer.co.uk does. I am a fully certified by the British Beer and Pubs Association for bar installation with a focus on home and office bars. I have loads of home bar clients who have really enjoyed the service during lockdown, as well as corporate office clients like Facebook and HelloFresh. I offer a complete solution from installing the bar equipment right the way through to keg supply. I also offer regular maintenance packages for those who want a bar without all the hassle.
Hello, this is Charles, also from Love Beer. I just want to also let you know I'm fully licensed to sell kegs. We can supply loads of different products from mainstream beers and ciders right through to trendy craft beers and even Prosecco kegs, all delivered to your bar by a certified technician.
Also, why I'm here, have I mentioned the Landraver Beeries 3, which is a 45-year-old ex-MOD Land Rover Series 3 that we have done a complete restoration on during lockdown?
The 3 Beeries 3 is a custom-built high-performance bar hidden in the back of a Land Rover. The bar we have installed is capable of doing upwards of 500 pints per hour. We're about 4 to 5 weeks off having it all back together and ready to show it off. And I'll be launching an Instagram for it this week.
Nice one, Charles.
Nice one. Hello, I want to take a moment to shout out one of our wicked sponsors, eggfried.com. They are a streetwear brand. They produce t-shirts, sweats, hoodies, handmade denims. It's all inspired by hip-hop, punk, choir fashion. It's really cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, head over to eggfried.com and have a look on the website, because it's not just the design, it's the layout, it's the website. You know, the creative team over there are absolutely on point. There's just some great stuff there. And not just for adults as well. They've got Small Fried, which is their range of kids' clothes. And if you want your kid to just look beyond cool, like, head over and check that out. And they've given us a discount code, right, Chris?
Yes, Egg Salad. If you type Egg Salad into the discount coupon section, you get yourself a tidy little discount. And when they send out the stuff, it is packaged exquisitely. You get little goodies in there, stickers, and it's all wrapped up beautifully. So check out eggfried.com.
Okay, lastly, we want to thank, and certainly not leastly, we want to thank. Is leastly a word?
No, it's really not.
Right, we're going with it. We're going with it. So we want to thank Luke Van Boom. Luke Van Boom has a company called Bang Boom Creative. Luke is a long-time sponsor of this show and a friend of this show. If you see the pictures of Chris and I on the socials advertising this podcast, them happy snaps were taken by the genius that is Luke Van Boom. I mean, that's just the tip of what he does. Chris, do you want to explain a little bit more about what Bang Boom Creative does?
Yes, it's all about fresh, innovative production. So they're all about content with a heart and soul, making films of all kinds, shooting dynamic photographs and putting smiles on faces. They're passionate storytellers working with a diverse range of brands of all sizes. You know, their work includes short film, viral video, animation, hidden camera stunts, product demos, live action, 360 imaging and music promo. And they've worked with a ton of companies as well. Universal, BBC Children in Need, even the Mayor of London, Katie Piper, the NHS, the Dogs Trust. They've worked with a lot of companies.
It consistently blows my mind, you know, the stuff that you've just said there. Why does he have anything to do with us plums?
Stop talking him out of it.
Right. There you go. Thank you very much, lovely sponsors. Okay, we've got guests today, returning guests.
Yes.
We've got Charlie and Nina from Two Girls, One Shop. Hello, ladies.
Hi.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
No, got a punishment.
Well, we knew
is
that there
three
was...
Times? It's the third it time, is. Right? It's the yeah. hat trick. Congratulations.
Third series of Two Girls.
Yeah. Three series. Is
oh no,
you say.
And so, I mean, we'll talk about series three, and we'll talk about the success of the podcast and where it's, you know, where it's gone in recent times. But let's just establish what today's top five is going to be. So, do you want to let us know what you've chosen for today, please?
Well, today we have chosen celebrity sex scandals.
Very juicy.
Very juicy. We've been very careful to not go down any dark illegal routes, because obviously the first ones that spring to mind are always like your Gary Glitters and whatnot. Yeah. But we thought keep it light-hearted and just do the little accidental.
Yeah. Well, that's what a sex scandal is to me. A sex scandal is like a juicy bit of gossip. Someone caught doing something they shouldn't be doing. Not like busting U3 wide open.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's nice. I mean, we've got two dark on
this podcast. Yew tree is not nice, Chris. Like, I need to clarify that. And if you still think that is, I'd like to disassociate myself from this podcast, please.
There'll only be one host next week. yeah, no, I think keep it light. Keep it light, mate. I mean, like, affairs are quite light, right? No one's got problems with affairs. Are they gonna be included?
We've got a little fact for you later, and you will not believe it.
Affairs are actually good. I knew it.
Okay, well, let's kick things off. Number five.
Okay, right. Well, let's get straight into it then. Right, so number five. I thought this one would be quite good to introduce his accolades first to see if you know who it is I'm talking about. Because I think quite a lot of people have gotten this one. Okay, so OBE, cricket commentator, member of the House of Lords, former cricketer who played for England and is now the chairman of Durham County Cricket Club.
Oh, is it Botham?
Yeah.
Is it? Yes, it excellent.
Is. Yeah. It's Botham. And I don't know if any of you were on Twitter during this time. But Ian Botham, you remembered, yeah. He accidentally tweeted a picture of his stump. Let's call it.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yes. He tweeted it with, I mean, he completely denied that he'd done it and said that he got hacked. But it was a picture with the caption, "What are you thinking? ... Kiss, kiss." And it's got his whole whole scrotum in it. And this little like slug laying on his belly. His face isn't in it, sadly.
I love how you describe it as a slug. I know the slug shot. I know the exact shot you're talking about. I haven't seen as many as you poor girls, probably. Probably illicit dick pics that you've been bombarded with. But I know the slug shot. And, poor Ian.
I know. Well, this one, I haven't heard about this before. And Charlie said about it. And I was like, right, I'll just have a little look. So I spent a week looking at Ian Botham's dick. And I can't stop thinking about it. It's just the angle of which he's taken this dick pic. And I've not received one like that before. So Charlie says she has, like, full scrotum upwards.
It's a weird angle. It's a weird angle, that, really.
So, just to clarify, so it's taken from underneath his ball sack and it's just his flaccid slug.
Yeah, pretty much. I can send it to you if you want.
I actually would like you to fire that over, thanks, Jay. I don't know how I'll explain it to my girlfriend, but...
Or explain it to your hairdresser next time you're searching through your phone to... you know about these girls, right? Chris is experiencing the hairdressers when he had a photo of Harry wanted his hair to look, and whilst he was flicking through his phone, it stopped on a picture of Chris's erect penis.
Oh,
angry, part masturbated penis. It was like you know, you got like three columns of your pictures, like as you scroll through, it was front and center, and she was standing over my shoulders. I scrolled down, and I was just like, oh. Fucking hell. What? So I just casually continued scrolling like it was the credits in some blue movie and just she saw it all.
Friend who was given a presentation at work, Charlie knows this friend, and he happened to be secretly having sex with Boss's daughter. And so he's in like a meeting with his phone going up to the big projector screen, and as he's scrolling through pictures of like signs and whatever it is he does, I can't remember, a load of pictures of his dick started coming up, but because it was on auto, like, you know how like a presentation like takes the next one, it was dick pic after dick pic and then a blowjob pic with the guy's daughter in it.
I'm coming out in a hot sweat thinking about how that would feel to be standing. It's sacked immediately.
Yeah, he got sacked. Yeah,
he was minding his own business. You can't help it if someone comes and sucks your willy.
Who
the bottom line is
separate files, though. because like
no,
all
I mean I don't
naked pictures are in like separate files.
I think maybe I think like because none of my mates have either. Like when like, the amount of times I've seen like. I've seen it all on my mates when they're showing me something like come and have a look at this patio I've dug out, and the next one is like a cum shot.
Sorry, are you hanging out with Fred West?
Their missus with jizz all over them. I shit you not, and I haven't just seen that once. And I just don't think guys have got the time to organise it into files.
Well, he's probably got the time now. He's not working.
That's unbelievable, Nina. That's crazy.
I think guys do it on purpose, though. I think they like to have a little picture in there of their girlfriend being apart, but they accidentally show their mate.
I think it's less on from as far as I know from myself. I can only talk on my behalf of myself and a couple of my mates who I know really well. It's just an absolute lack of due care and attention and laziness, and to the point where. I mean, I've seen all my mates' bits anyway over the years, but I've seen them all erect now at different points on photos, and you just sort of like go, you scroll onto it, and then you go, and everyone just chuckles, and then that's the end of it, and no one's mortified. But I think probably I need a better file storage policy for.
Yeah, I mean, your mates might just go whoop and like think nothing more of it. Your hairdresser's probably still in.
Well, have you ever given your phone to someone and said, "Look at this picture," and then that like. Fear gets into you as they start scrolling, and you're like, no, don't fucking keep going because I know what's in there.
Yeah, my uncle, I'd done it to my uncle, gave it to my uncle, and I was literally like, what have I fucking done here? And he literally wouldn't give me back the phone.
Oh, no.
And like, and I was just like, yeah.
How was Christmas? Yeah, Chris really spoilt Christmas. He said to he screamed, "Give me my fucking phone back, you cunt!" to Uncle Tony. It was a really weird reaction.
That still wouldn't be the worst, the most rude Christmas I've had, where family members have been disgusted with me. So yeah.
I want to go back to both of them, right?
Because,
one of my favourite headlines ever. See, obviously being old as fuck, I remember Ian Botham being like a legit, like, superstar. Like, he was like the absolute, like, Beckham of cricket in the day. And there was a headline, and it was all the bees. It was, because obviously Botham was called Beefy. And it was, "Bonking Beefy Breaks Bed." And it was this report. Of this person that was a hotel manager or something like that in a, like, she looked after like the hotel that Botham was in, and he broke the bed bonking, and that was the front page of the newspaper at the time.
Wow, they're really clutching at straws, aren't they? Yeah. Is that the hottest thing that week, that day on the news?
he was like bonking. I mean, if you accidentally put your dinkle on Twitter and you're somebody that's got a lot of profile like Beefy, you've just got to own up to it, ain't you? You've just got to take it on the chin. There's no point just going, no, I don't know what happened. I think I got hacked. It's like, oh, fuck, man, I've just put my dinkle on Twitter.
Was there a time, I mean, I'm not too Twitter savvy, but was there a time when it was quite easy to share like pictures straight onto Twitter from you? I guess it is now, isn't it, still? But like, you know, he's both of them, what, in and around your age, Stu? This isn't an ageist, I'm not trying to be a prick here.
But, that's fucking offensive.
Like, you know, I struggle a little bit with technology, and it, like, both of them's like no spring chicken. He might have had a, he's probably
cheers, man.
He probably had a little, he just pressed the wrong button and then didn't even realise that he'd shared the wrong picture.
We've all accidentally sent the wrong messages to people and, you know, sent the wrong pictures to people, got into a little bit of trouble. But like you said, the only thing you can do in that situation is just be like, shit, I'm really sorry about that, everyone.
Both from 65, you cunt.
So a couple of years younger than yourself. And the only thing is, I said, I feel sorry for him. I only feel sorry for him if he wasn't trying to, like, just send one to some random girl on Twitter that didn't ask for it. If that's the case, fucking I'm glad that happened. But most of the time, it's sort of like, yeah, that's an accidental one, isn't it? Do you, how do you deal with unsolicited dick pics, girls? What's your strategy?
Sorry, go on, Charles.
No, that's it. I just say to people, please don't send them. I've said this 100 times on these because dick pics always come up. But I just say, if you send that to me, I'm going to show everyone. Please don't send it. Please don't send it. Please don't send it. They always fucking send it. And then I just show everyone. Yeah.
I still don't get this. And there's loads of guys who do it, don't they? Like, I've seen, like, loads of my girl mates are always, like, it's happened again. Like, within a couple of messages, just the penis. I don't understand it. And I'm a weirdo. I don't get why people... It's mad. How about you, Nina? What's your sort of strategy?
Well, if I don't want it, then I say that I'm going to tell their mum. And that
that's so good.
The situation, like, because no one wants it. No one wants some bird hitting up their mum on Facebook, just being like, "Oh, FYI, Jackie, your son is sending dick pics to women who don't want it on the internet."
Yeah,
you'd be fuming, that's wouldn't
good.
You?
Get your mum on them, or get their mum on them.
Well, there's nothing brilliant. Worse than your mum having a go at you. You don't care if some woman who you've just sent a dick pic. Is having a go at you?
No, exactly. The last person you want to send a dick pic to is your own mum. That's what I'd do. I'd forward it on. Just go, yeah, this is from the same. Just put yeah. on us. See how he's grown. a friend of the show, Jess Megan. I don't know if we've told you this before, but Jess's strategy is she just sends loads of gay porn back. Just like loads of loads of pictures of two men banging. And they're like, oh, I didn't ask for that. She's like, well, I didn't ask to see it either. Yeah. So,
well, I mean, some of the men that send me dick pics, that might just encourage them. So.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. What's your number four, girls?
Number four. I've got number four for you. So in the early hours of June 1995 in downtown LA, bumbling English movie star Hugh Grant a 23-year-old sex worker, Divine Brown, $40 for a blowjob. The couple was swiftly arrested but released on bail, and Grant received £1,000 fine, 2 years probation, and a compulsory participation in an AIDS education program. You would have thought that that would have damaged Hugh Grant's career because he was only just starting out, but actually, it really boosted it. And even better is Divine's life changed massively after she was paid £100,000 to describe Hugh Grant's penis to the News of the World and pose in Liz Hurley's famous safety pin dress.
That's right.
That's fucking out of order.
Was he with Hurley then?
Yeah. Yeah. Liz Hurley, one of the most beautiful women in the world.
Yeah.
What are you fucking doing? What me and Charlie were saying, like, if Liz Hurley can't keep a fucking man, then I mean, we are fucked, aren't we?
It's a crazy thing. I do think, like, for women, you must think, oh, for fuck's sake, like, if Liz Hurley, who seems, I mean, I don't know Liz Hurley, she seems witty in movies, but I guess you can't really base anything off what they're acting like.
Yeah, but
she's certainly
Chris.
Stunning.
She's fit.
She's like up there, isn't she?
To be a monster, she's fit.
I think Hugh was quoted saying after that, why did you do it? And he says, well, you can eat steak every day, but every now and then you want to nip out for a burger.
Did he say that, or did you just make that up?
Just made
that's
that
fucking
up.
Lies. That's lies. I've done my research. Did not say that. I couldn't find a description of Hugh Grant's penis, which I was really disappointed in. So I thought you guys could actually speculate. What do you think she said about Hugh Grant's penis?
It's going to be a posh knob, isn't it?
Yeah, it's going to be very English. I think he's still got his hood.
Oh, yeah.
I bet he's still got quite well groomed. I bet he's trimmed very... round the edges.
Yeah, I reckon almost like a sort of side parting of his pubes.
Like
I think he's got a mole near it as well. Like, it's not British people aren't like America. They have perfect teeth. Our willies are probably the same. They're probably crooked or something. There might be a little like mole there, or I don't know. I'm just getting hot and steamy.
I should say that of mugshots, that mugshot of Hugh Grant's one of my favourites of all time.
Yeah.
I think he looks so fucking cool in that picture.
Agreed. Well, just, I don't fancy Hugh Grant, but there was a slight twinge when I saw his mugshot. I don't know, maybe I'm a sucker for a bad boy.
Mm. He's looks so cool in that. And since then, obviously you're playing quintessential English gent after quintessential English gent. You then watch The Gentleman, and he's the coolest motherfucker on the planet in that.
Yeah, he's
so
really cool
good.
I don't think I've seen The Gentleman, actually. Is that the one with the Sons of Anarchy guy in it as well?
Yeah, Charlie Hunnam. Yeah.
Charlie Hunnam. What's his name? The Irish guy, Colin Farrell.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
McConaughey.
Matthew McConaughey. There's some hot guys
men.
In that.
Yeah, it's a great wank, that.
Oh, I'll put that on. Put that on when I'm done.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was just being naughty with a sex worker. But
That's mad.
And I mean, I quite like the fact that Divine Brand become famous and got paid loads of money.
Yeah, good on her, you know. It turned her life around. I don't know what it did for Liz and Liz's sort of image. Not to mention how awful that must be to find out your partner's getting head off a random person.
Did he get it?
Yeah, apparently.
I don't think she finished. I don't think she finished. I think he ran after her.
This is guesswork, Chris.
Well, it is guesswork, but apparently Hugh Grant kept driving round and following her, saying, like, get in my car type of situation. I don't know what the exchange was. And she thought he was a copper because he was driving around in like a fancy car. So she was like, no way, mate. And then she paid. And But apparently he kept commenting on her red lips and red painted toes. So he's a feet man.
Mm. I mean, it's kind of went the opposite way to Pretty Woman, really, didn't it? It you know, it could have been a fairy tale, but it just went a bit
pear-shaped. Well, she actually does describe her life as Pretty Woman.
Really?
Yeah, so maybe that is the fairy tale. Maybe that's the best case scenario for a sex worker.
Good for her. Did she go into porn? That's total guesswork, isn't it?
Fucking hell, mate. Your guesswork's on fire today.
Yeah, no, I think she did. She did a few bits and bobs afterwards, but now she's just a housewife married to a music producer.
Ah, good for her.
I know.
Good for
her.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Number three.
Well, number three started out as like a collection of people that are footballers. But as I was writing for one of the main culprits, it ended up being like 4 pages worth of fucking scandal after scandal after scandal that we just thought, let's just keep it as Wayne Rooney.
I mean, he's all over it again at the moment, isn't he?
He's fucking relentless. He's relentless.
So he's a, so I really don't keep up with his show. Is he a bit of a serial cheat on, is it Colleen? Is that his missus?
I think he's pronounced Colleen.
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 Colon. Colon Rooney.
Just Colleen.
Colleen. Sorry, yeah, Colleen. I'm
Colleen
sorry.
To her friends.
Yeah, so he literally started from day one when he was like 16 years old. He paid a prostitute £140. And he left his autograph as a souvenir, which is nice of him, because obviously it was a bit of a, it's a bit of a big deal at 16. Yeah, it's a little bit of a big deal, wasn't he? He played for Everton, didn't he, before he played for Manchester United. So no, it was a little bit of a face around Liverpool, yeah.
That wasn't the granny one, was it?
That wasn't the granny one, no. That was only, well, months later. he slept with Old Slapper. That is her name. That's her street name.
Oh, Jesus Christ, right.
She wore a rubber cat suit, and that was £45, if any of you are interested. It's Liverpool.
Yeah, I just decided what I'm going to do with my money this evening.
I got apparently getting a rubber cat suit, because that's more than £45 worth of work already.
Work. It's hard work, right? You got to get talc in there. Do you have to put talc in there and stuff like that? Yeah. I'm just guessing.
Yeah. That's another speculation. it's not easy. You can't just like loop into it. So, I mean, that's already got a boosted price.
I am going to do a bit of guesswork and just say that it probably wasn't actually made of rubber or latex, and that it was that stretchy, like PU stuff.
Nasty,
because it makes you £45 time. She's putting that stretchy stuff on her. She's cheating.
Was that for sex? £45?
£45, yeah. That's how much she was.
Bless her.
Balls deep, isn't it? Yeah. No, I think for £45 you only get the tip in.
But don't forget, it's up north, isn't it? So
everything's cheaper
down here. It'd be double. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Everything's half the price up there. So he visited her over 10 times.
He visited her 10 times.
Yeah, he was back and forth. He was back and forth to that place, and then he got caught again, by Colleen,
do you think? You know, because I believe Colleen was his like childhood sweetheart,
and
I think they've been together since school, haven't they? So
yeah.
And, is that really?
And
right?
They were like 12. Apparently, they've known each other since they were 12. They're boyfriend and girlfriend from like 13. And,
so I always have that thing with like people that have been with their partner from school. That, I mean, me and you was talking about it the other day, weren't we, Chris? Like that. Have only ever been with their partner, and surely there must be an element of curiosity as to like, I wonder what this could be like with someone else. Don't get me wrong, I think it's really wonderful if you meet your soulmate at a very young age and you've got a really happy life together. That's fucking great. But I do think you'd be like, I wonder what it'd be like though if with someone else. Anyway, do you think that it has anything to do with the fact that Wayne Rooney looks like a kind of part warm potato, and like he's got a little sort of spud head, hasn't he? And like, and I just think like he's in a team with like David Beckham and Ryan Giggs, and you know, I mean, obviously Ryan Giggs has got his fair share of issues at the moment, but all of these like ridiculously handsome, super successful footballers that will have women throwing themselves at them. You know, he's in a team with them. He's exposed to them. Yet, arguably, he's the best player. So, do you think that... I'm just confused as to where his mind's at, because surely he would want to be, you know, surrounded by beautiful women if he could. But he appears to want to kind of go and have, was it Old Slapper she tatted herself as?
Old Slapper, yeah. It was like, it's written like A-U-L-D.
I think he's just old a slapper. Sex addict. Or, you know, he just likes sex with a variety of different women. And, I mean, he's quite, oh, God.
Sneeze was insane.
I know. Loud,
it was the old God that came before it. Oh, God!
What was that? Does anyone know? I've never seen that before. I think he's just, yeah, like, he's obviously full of, he's brimming with testosterone, Wayne Rooney. You're just looking at him and he's a walking meathead, isn't he? And I wonder if he just has a surplus of what makes him a powerful footballer also means he's just got testosterone flooding his brain all the time and he just fucking makes him act like a complete fucking retard. Excuse my French for saying that. And also, I'm not trying to just, you know, sign any bad behaviour by men off of, oh, it's not our fault, it's our hormones. I'm not saying that. I'm just sort of like speculating as to why he's such a dirtbag. I mean, they haven't been together since they were 12, if he's running around doing that. But if Colleen, I don't know, maybe they've got a little arrangement. Maybe she can sort of like do what she wants and he does what he wants. But I don't know. I get the vibe that isn't how that relationship's going, is it?
I don't envisage that he's allowed to go with Old Slapper and she's allowed to kind of, you know, work her way through to cast the last of the summer wine. I don't think he's going to be sort of set up like that.
Well, that's what I said to Carly. Maybe it's one of those things where she's like, look, do what you want, but for God's sake, Wayne, stay out of the papers. But then Carly has said that she's been known to ring round and have a go at people. So that's not the actions of a woman that's like, give a one from me.
Yeah, it does sound more like it's not, she's not given the green light for him to act like an imbecile. Was he just asleep in a hotel room the other day with young girls, basically, and there was photos? I mean, he obviously, it didn't look like he was doing anything.
I mean, let's just clarify, so you say young girls, but like, I think they were, you know, over 18.
I'm not going Epstein with this, I'm just saying, you know. Like,
they were 21, they were young women. They got invited into his little VIP area. Somehow, innocently, ended up in a hotel room, obviously, because that's innocent, as you do with 21-year-old women. They took photos of him and videos of him. And I think one of them was like, give me £1,000 or I'll send this to the papers kind of thing. Obviously you can't do that because it's privacy. Yeah. He's been in the papers again recently, but I mean, he's never been out of them. This goes on literally throughout the years.
Have you got one more example of him being a fucking idiot?
He was in a hotel with a woman called Jenny Thompson while Colleen was pregnant. And this one was actually a £1,200 a night hooker. So he's gone up in the world.
Colleen can't be that angry about that then. She can't be too mad at that.
I mean, what, you're spending more money on hookers? Can't you just go around and give her the 40 quid or whatever it was? I'll be fused.
Yeah, exactly. You could do her 10 times.
Exactly. Get your money for her, for God's sake. We're on a budget here, Wayne.
Yeah. And it just goes on through all of her pregnancies, all of her children or their children that they've had together. It goes round the world, Canada and Florida.
It's so tragic.
Do you think
it's really sad? It's sad, yeah.
It is.
Piece of shit.
Do you think for her and for have they got kids as well? Like that's it.
Yeah.
And also, that what example are you setting the world? Like, you know, if as soon as you get that in that media, you do sort of like you do end up having more responsibilities than you probably want. You've got a lot more money, but it does come with I've got a new saying I'm going to come up with now. With great power comes great responsibility.
That's really good.
I just thought of that one. That's right, mate. And I think, you know, is that what you should be doing? Is going around and like everyone's. Because there's not every bloke in the world is sat here going, that's disgusting. There's blokes there going, yeah, fucking wicked. It's like, that's not cool. Yeah, sad.
I just think like some people are. I just get the impression that he's not that smart. And if you're constantly being told, like, you know, footballers from a very young age are wrapped in cotton wool because they're a, you know, they're a prospect. They're a gold mine. You know, they're it's like we can't get anything in the way of this. Yeah. You know, we've got to ensure that this little kind of glimmer of hope is going to be nurtured into this. And you see that now with, like, footballers that are retired at 30 that don't know how to make a cup of tea. And you just think, because they've got no fucking life skills, because their whole life, everything is done for them, everything is put in place to ensure that every Saturday they just deliver at the highest possible level. And I think that that is the thing where I just think they're not socially inept, but like, I don't know. I just think that there's definitely a percentage of people that think that they can walk on water. And we've seen it time and time again with footballers, haven't we? That they can get away with stuff that...
They're all fucking at it. So it must be something in the water, because Ryan Giggs had an 8-year affair with his brother's wife.
Yeah. And he was seen a bit squeaky clean before that. I've heard about other I'm not going to say, because this is through other people that I don't want to, but I've heard there's other footballers that are perceived as squeaky clean, and there's a financial interest in making this person appear squeaky clean who isn't. And the same with Ryan Giggs. Like, I thought he was like one of the good guys. Then he's like, no, eight year affair. But saying that footballers don't never do anything for themselves, I think Wayne Rooney ordered his own hookers. So
yeah, good point.
Yeah, so I think he's just trying to prove that he could do something.
He's got the initiative there to
actually go out and like track, because I wouldn't know where to go. So maybe I haven't been brought up right, because I wouldn't know where to go for a prostitute.
Yeah.
Ambleside Drive.
So.
Absolutely.
Thanks.
So it's not all bad. It's only 50% bad.
Every clad.
Yeah.
So
we found something funny out, didn't we, when digging through the dirt of footballers. Go on, tell them, hit them with it, Charles.
Well, on the subject of footballers, this is the year that Ashley Cole done the dirty on the British jewel that was Cheryl Cole. And he actually was voted that year as the most hated man in Britain. John Terry came second.
Oh, yeah.
And just to give it a little bit of balance as to how much women hate men that cheat, third place was Abu Hamza. And I completely agree.
Abu Hamza is Abu Hamza, right? For his faults, his flaws.
Stop.
He's consistent. He's not saying one thing and behaving another way, is he? He's very out and open about his agenda.
Yeah. What you see is what you get with Abu, and that is why I think we like him a little bit more.
He's reliable, if nothing else.
But it is amazing, like, that how PR works. Like, if you've got, like, a jewel in the crown, like Cheryl Cole, whatever her name is, and Ashley Cole can do that, and like, doesn't matter what he does on the pitch, like, he is forever going to be tarnished with that. Cheryl Cole must just have spin doctors just going, right, I know you punched that girl in a toilet, but we'll make that go away. We can make you do enough good stuff that everybody's going to love you, and you can never be like, be accountable for that. Don't worry, we'll make that go away. I think that's really fucking disgusting that some celebrities are just looked after and shielded, and and kind of pushed away from anything like that and just kind of then put back into, you know, Saturday night primetime television for everybody to go, all you got to do, Sherry, you just got to like watch some of these like kids that are like doing their little songs and just look a little bit doe-eyed and like, you know, just look a little, yeah, maybe your bottom lip go every once in a while and then everyone's going to love you again. And like, fuck that.
Well,
man.
That's how we like, get away with everything, isn't it, Sal?
We're protected.
Use a punching people in toilets regular.
We do it every weekend. But all you have to do afterwards is just be like, oh, come on.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, please. What? Won't do it again.
Well, oh, before we get to your number one, girls, what we got in store in season three then? Two girls, one shot. What we got?
Two girls, one shot. Well, we released an episode yesterday, which won't be yesterday when people hear this, called Pound Coin Man, about a man who loves to flash the cash in store. So that's quite a good one. And the one before that was actually about celebrities.
Oh my God.
Yes, a nice. Certain celebrity.
What, visiting?
Not visiting.
Popping in.
We met him on a night out. So, yeah, you'll have to listen. I don't really want to give too much away. But celebrities do come into the store quite often. We recently did a podcast with A Midlife Less Ordinary. And they literally bleeped out an entire, like, 30 minutes of us talking about the celebrities that were coming into the shop because after taking advice from a lawyer, they said it wasn't a good idea.
Probably true.
Probably is true, but I mean...
Yeah. You know. Doesn't matter. We've been on here talking about... Chris has been guessing about Wayne Rooney's exploits and
exactly.
Now we've just been speaking
and
about Abu Hanza as well, so we're in enough trouble
as it is.
Who doesn't
want to know that Cannon and Ball have been in? Like, I find that...
Together?
Yeah.
Cannon and Ball. Cannon and Ball sounds like a sex toy.
It does. It really does. It's a sex move.
It is,
Stu.
Yeah.
I'll show you it next time I'm over to Whiffin. Are you back at the shop, girls? What's the crack? Are you back there? What's happening?
No, we're not. The shop actually ended up shutting because of COVID, so that's gone. Yeah, so we're we're looking for a new sex shop if anyone has one that needs to be run by us.
Yeah. And so I should also say that for those that haven't checked out Two Girls, One Shop, it is on season three, and it is the season one is probably a much shorter episodes. They're like sort of 15-minute chats, and it's just going into the exploits and the day-to-day kind of madness that Charlie and Nina experience in their time working in the adult store. Season three, which I think by the time this comes out, like four episodes would have been out. They're like hour-long episodes, and it's me as well being quite quizzical and kind of asking questions because as the listener, I guess, I'm always just completely perplexed and stunned and excited at the shit that goes on in these shops. And as well as that, we talk about dating and all sorts of things. And if you like a laugh, and obviously you do like a laugh because you listen to this podcast, you're going to love Two Girls, One Shot.
Yeah, some people even say it's the funniest thing they've ever heard. I mean, how's that for a review?
The premise, girls, is fantastic, and I can't think of a better. I worked in a clothes shop, and I thought that was fun. The thought of working in a sex shop. If you do get to run another one, I'm going to come and visit, and I'd love to work there for a day, to be honest with you, but I don't think you'd probably want me working there.
You would not be the worst person there if you worked there, I promise you that. I'm not, and I've heard things about you, Chris. It's not a patch on what we've had to go through.
Yeah.
That's a relief.
That's why,
yeah,
that's
if we
why
do
we
get
work,
sex
yeah.
shop... Yeah, you'll have to come and do a stint, both of you, because I'd quite like to see Stu
I'd
in there uncomfortable too.
I'd fucking love that. I'd love Stu being all uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I'm showing someone how to put a strap on Stu's cringing.
Oh my God, I'd love it. You see Stu's face sometimes when he's asking us questions and we're answering and he's going, oh God, oh.
The fact that we're talking about celebrity sex scandals, if last week's episode of the Two Girls One Shot, which is a celebrity episode, if that made the papers, that would probably have dwarfed anything that we've spoken about today.
Yeah,
it's fucking mad.
Yeah.
Oh, God, amazing.
It might not. It might not have made number one, because what is your number one?
We haven't done number four yet.
Haven't we?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, number two. No, we haven't done
four. Oh, sorry. I got too excited.
Yeah, sorry. Right. Footballers had to be all bundled in together because they're all literally
bundled into
everyone. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, so number two, we thought, well, I mean, it took us quite a while to find a female for this celebrity sex scandals, because it does seem to be men, the majority.
Yeah, absolutely.
But number two is Katie Price. And I mean, well, she's been through the absolute ringer, and she's had like a pretty sad love life with all of the men that she's been with, very public as well. What I thought was absolutely just scandalous was when she pursued Gareth Gates when he was 17 years old and she was six months pregnant, and she took his virginity. And I just, you know, you just think of poor Gareth Gates, don't you, in that situation. Yeah. He must have got eaten alive. We actually kind of did, because he did actually end up, she ended up making his penis bleed.
This sounds like the sort of guesswork I come out with.
So,
how do we know that? How do we know his dick bled?
Well, because that's what she said in her book.
Oh, okay. All right. Fair enough.
Yeah. Oh. So she said he was just getting into his stride when he jumped up and was like, my dick is bleeding.
Oh.
And yeah.
Oh, dear.
Poor little 17-year-old Gareth Gates. Yeah.
And she wouldn't take him to the hospital.
To Jordan.
She was on the download. So poor, scared Gareth Gates' dick is bleeding. And she's like, I don't fucking think so, mate. Get a plaster on it.
Yeah, exactly. Get an elastoplast on that shit and let's crack on.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
I mean, I'm going to play devil's advocate here and look at the flip side of it.
Oh, there's not put in my mind, like, you know, and this is the difference in mentality, Stu, I think, with what you're going to say. Go on.
if I was 17 and there was some, you know, at the time, you know, FHM or whatever it was, like, you know, yeah, glamour model that you know, that's very, very beautiful, like,
yeah,
wants to have it off with you and you're 17, I mean, that's the fucking dream right there.
Pretty much. Yeah,
but at the same time, Stu, 17-year-old you'd be too scared to go anywhere near Jordan.
Yeah, I would have been terrified.
She
yeah.
would... Hello?
Hello? We lost you there for a sec,
Charlie. Oh my God, something's happened.
She would have annihilated.
We've heard she would. The internet can't handle
it. Oh my God!
You're back.
Yeah, I would have been terrified, but I do think like the thought of like being able to.
Stu, listen. There's being terrified. You know, sometimes you have to do the things that terrify you. And like, I'm not saying, first and foremost, I'm not saying I speak on behalf of every man on the planet. And I do think that there can be many a situation where a man can be taken advantage of. I think it obviously is dwarfed by the fucking terrible behaviour of blokes. But yeah, it can happen. And so I'm not saying, oh yeah, way. But to my mind, a lot of my mates would have been like that would have been like the golden, they would have rather that than found the golden ticket from Willy Wonka. They would have rather have had Jordan go, today's the day, mate, and your dick might bleed a little bit. I'd probably go, okay, let's go for it. So yeah.
No, I don't think so. Gareth Gates was just like so pure.
Yeah.
And
he
I remember seeing the headlines and it was like he was like a rabbit caught in the headlights. You just think, he's fucking like hunted him down and made him have sex with you whilst you were pregnant and like 15 years his senior or however old she was.
Well, no, actually, in her defence, she was only 24.
Oh.
Okay. There's not a massive age gap there. She's 41 now and I think he's like 36. So I think there's only like sort of 5-6 year age gap there.
Apologies.
She said that she massively regrets it, but she just wanted love at the time because she was pregnant with Harvey and being treated like crap by fucking...
absolute shit.
Whatever his name was, Dwight. York.
Yeah.
Gareth Gates did actually say, according to her, that he would happily go public with her once he got his record deal, but he ended up getting his record deal and then dumping her, and that is why she released it to the press.
No.
So, you know, he's not completely squeaky clean in it, really. And I do kind of feel sorry for Katie Price. I do have a little bit of a sad feeling about her.
And I also, I don't feel so sorry for her singing with Peter Andre on TV. I can't remember what they sung. Whole New World. That's like, that'll cheer you up at any time of the day. I actually have a fair amount of respect for Jordan on some levels as well. Like, I don't like to package everyone up into just one or two of their deeds and go, that makes them a bad or a good person. And like how she's... the effort she's gone into caring for her son and Harvey and stuff like that and providing for her children and that, I think you can only respect that, to be honest with you. I think she's a strong, like, she might have opinions I don't agree with and stuff like that, but, you know, she's a tough old cookie, Jordan.
She's stood the test of time, hasn't she?
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. To be where she is now after letting Dane Bowers put his big toe in her minky, like, fair play.
And she went out as she married Alex Reed as well.
Yeah,
with a cage fighter. Yeah, and he was a cross dresser, and she outed him, didn't she, on national TV?
Yeah.
Sorry, I shouldn't laugh, but yeah, maybe he deserved it. I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't
know if people deserve to be like outed there.
No, it's true.
On TV.
Petty.
I think if you enter into a relationship with Katie Price, I think you'd be daft to not expect the media glare.
Oh yeah.
And to have to play that game, because she plays it, and maybe not so well now, but you know, for a time, I think she bossed it and probably made a hell of a lot of money out of having the press, you know, at her beck and call, really, and you know, she made an incredible livelihood for herself, and I think maybe some of it smacks a little bit of desperation there, and I find that all a little bit sad. And do you know what? Like, I don't think, you know, I have no issue with Katie Price. I hope she's happy, because it's like, it's going to be a, I mean, she's probably released about 7 books already, but at some point, I'm sure there'll be something when people look back retrospectively and just go, fucking hell, what a mad, like, 20 years you had. Like,
yeah.
Number one?
Number one. This is hard stomach. I will warn you. In 2004, convicted killer and EastEnders bad boy, Dirty Den Watts, also known as Leslie Grantham, exposed himself via webcam to a woman named Amanda, who was actually an undercover reporter.
God, yeah.
During the steamy cam session, Grantham masturbated and sucked his finger. And that is a image that will haunt me till my dying day. It was also claimed by another woman that Leslie Grantham dressed in a Captain Hook costume and wanked on webcam. He did apologise, and he donated money to the charity in an attempt to right his wrongs.
Children's charity.
I mean, if that was just orchestrated to set up someone...
Yeah.
I hate shit like that. Yeah. That's really low.
Did that not happen to Amir Khan as well? Like, I think that ended up happening to him as well. I think he was a bit set up like that. But again, mostly guesswork on my behalf.
Yeah, and Joel Dommett was caught with his dick in his hand, wasn't he? By a woman who...
Who's Joel Dommett?
He's a comedian.
Oh, a really, really, really ugly, like, comedian.
And Jason Mansfield as well. He was online doing naughty bits and bobs. Maybe it's a comedian thing.
Yeah, maybe it's a comedian thing.
Well, yeah.
So I'm actively trying to date comedians at the moment.
I think the Dirty Den thing, I mean, that photograph of him with his finger in his gob is... so bananas.
I've got to Google that right now.
Have you never seen this, Chris? It's so weird.
Right, you'll never be able to unsee it, Chris. So just make sure you're sure before you look at it.
I just need to, listen, Charlie, I need to see something like that to push all the other images to the point of my head, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, from the very first time that I saw...
He's got his glasses on.
Yeah, he has.
Have the glasses got the little kind of strings as well at the back?
I can't tell. It's like front on. That's so fucking funny.
And the thing is, like, obviously he was a proper legend in the day, Dirty Den, even though he was a convicted murderer by the time he played Dirty Den.
Yeah. Is that true? Or is that
he was in an army base, I believe.
Yeah, it was in Germany.
Yeah.
Taxi driver.
Yeah. 1966, he murdered or accidentally killed a taxi driver after a robbery went wrong.
Was he was conducting a robbery, I'm assuming, then. He was sticking someone up and up shooting someone.
The taxi driver in Germany, yeah. And then he was in prison. Well, he was sleeping with his English teacher whilst he was in prison as well.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, he found his love for acting.
Do you reckon that, I'll tell you what, a word that don't get used anymore, love rat. That was 90s, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like Darren rat. Day, Darren love rat.
Absolute love rat.
Let's bring back the word love rat. I like that.
Yeah, I like that. There's a few,
mate.
Are people love rats anymore? I think it's taken a bit more seriously now. Like,
Yeah, they're called predators now. I think it was a bit more acceptable in the 90s.
Yeah.
Oh, he's just a love rat, isn't he?
Naughty little love rat. Rooney. bangs old slapper for 45 quid.
Oh, dear.
What's he like?
I wonder if old slapper had the kind of fairy tale that Divine Brown had.
I
don't know. Where is he
Probably
now?
Not.
Another episode.
I don't know.
From the sounds of her age, dead.
Yeah.
She's probably dead now.
For me, this story, when we were reading about it, Charlie said he was wearing a Captain Hook outfit. And we were like, what the fuck is he doing wearing a Captain Hook outfit? He's got one like laying around and been like, I will wank for you, but if you just give me 1 second, pop the hat on. Hook. Was he using the hook? Well, I've got so many questions. And it didn't even occur to us that he did Pampo in as Captain Hook. So that's where the costume come from. We just thought he had it fucking laying around his house.
Is it? Yeah. Is he doing Panto at the time?
Yeah.
Or was he trying to look like Hamza?
Yeah.
he was doing Panto at the time. But I mean, you know, I hope that was clean, that suit, when he was going back on stage, because if you like having a couple of wanks every night wearing it, it's gonna.
Oh God.
Yeah. And did she request it? Yeah. You think she requested it? It was like, look, I've got a massive thing for Captain Hook, and he's like, I've got just the thing. Or do you think he just like turned up in it? Well, yeah. Or do you think he was just like, I'm in late from work, I could take the outfit off, but I'll tell you what I'll do, I'll sit down and have a wank first. What was the thought process, I want to know?
Online.
Yeah.
I'll turn the webcam on.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the only way you can get hard, you know? We've all got our things that we've got to do. That's his.
And with the Captain Hook outfit, did he have the hook in his mouth instead of his finger?
No, he was
using the hook to yeah.
So you mentioning the Captain Hook thing has made me remember quite a high profile case, which I've just pulled up from August 2005. EastEnders star Steve McFadden had crisis talks with Panto bosses yesterday after claiming he was a dogging pervert. Actor was due to play Captain Hook in Peter Pan over Christmas, but his 15 grand a week role has been thrown into doubt following claims by former girlfriend Angela Bostock that he enjoyed having sex in public over 10 years. Angela also alleged that McFadden, 46, who plays Phil Mitchell in the soap, forced her to have sex with a transvestite. And she claimed he disguised himself during his sordid exhibitions by wearing the wig from Peter Pan, which was not his own. Captain Hook, mate, that's where it's at.
Clearly. Just when I thought I'd gone through the whole every category in YouTube, there's obviously a Captain Hook section I've missed.
Our friend Antonia, she loves a sexy pirate. It's one of her favourite things that she likes, a pirate. So I guess maybe when people like a sexy pirate, they're probably not thinking of Leslie Grantham or Steve McFadden.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. I mean, no one minds a sexy pirate, but when it's Phil Mitchell or Dirty Den, like...
You've missed the sexy bit. It's just a pirate. It's like literally just a pirate. That's exactly what a pirate would look like.
Yeah, it's like when people are like, oh yeah, dress up as a nurse. They mean in a tiny vinyl nurse's outfit and not actually a fucking wardress stuff.
Yeah.
No, that's just not sexy, is it? Just reminds me of going to hospital.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, there's different levels of things like that. And, I don't think... they come under the criteria of sexy pirate. I mean, we are like, no one minds a bit of dressing up, but I mean, it's a bit elaborate, isn't it? Full on.
If I can quote my girlfriend, absolutely. If I can quote my girlfriend, I love Halloween because I can dress up like a slut. She's like, I could dress in like I could really just go for it on the sexy outfit. And I'm like,
you could just tell her that she's allowed to dress up as a slut any day of the week because
anytime. It absolutely is. And, so,
I mean, that's what I do. Does. I actually dress normally on Halloween. And every other day I dress as a slutty cat.
How would a fella dress slutty?
Cat. Is there anything sexy about men dressing sexy?
If I said to you, Chris, I want you looking sexy when we catch up later... Right, what are you turning up wearing? Tell me what's going to knock on my front door.
It's a little bit like when I have this chat with Molly and you know, and she'll put something sexy on and me put something sexy. I'd like to know. I'd like some ideas. But she seems quite content with a sexy pair of boxer shorts. She's never been like...
Yeah. Little piss patch at the front.
Just pop some clean ones on without that stain on the front, baby.
Without a hole in them.
Yeah, she's never been like pop on a Captain Hook outfit or anything. I'd do it, you know, whatever floats her boat. But she's kind of like just stay normal.
Yeah.
How about you, Stu? What would you do?
A pirate, yeah.
Okay.
Like Long Dong Silver, I'd go for it, man. Like.
Girls, what's the sort of consensus? You know, you're the experts, really. What's considered sexy attire for a man?
Well, I mean, I quite like Father Christmas.
Yeah.
If we're going down the dress up route.
This is why you need to check out their podcast.
Just to take some notes.
Well, but that's a personal preference. I am partial to a 70 plus beard. So that might just be me. But
what is it about Santa, Charlie?
He's old. He's got a really good beard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he brings you presents. Yeah. And you only have to see him once a year.
It all makes sense. It really does make sense.
This is perfect. It's ideal. So, you know.
Yeah.
That's why.
Nina, have you got anything?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I want to give this, like, butts away. I'll literally accept anything. So, I mean, that's my preference. But but I don't mind a bit of, like, dressing up. But, I can't actually think of any sort of time where someone has dressed up. I might have a little bit of a thing for, like, men in fishnets. And I think that comes from the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
I was just going to say that. Was it Rocky Horror?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that. I mean, that whole Frankenfurter get up, that does wild things.
Yeah.
It would be nice to see more men walking around dressed in that sort of like 80s man jeans, mullet, vest.
Yeah.
You know, like George Michael.
Yeah, yeah.
Michael Hutchence.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's sexy.
Yeah.
We were gonna go to, we didn't do this, but we still plan on going to like torture gardens, and it's like I'm just thinking of what I can wear, because like all the girls' outfits are really sexy, and then I look at anything for guys and I'm like, I just don't know if that
what that about
particularly very sexy.
This is just off the top of my head. But what about if you had some sort of like military rubber outfit? Because a man in uniform is always a winner, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So
I'm gonna have a. I will have a look. I'm gonna have a look and see what's the crack.
Like an there's an obviously SS loads. Coat.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they were stylish as fuck. I mean, their politics were kind of a bit weird.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I mean, they did wear the shit out of
it. Hugo Boss, wasn't it?
Yeah.
What's that, Shuey?
The Nazi regalia was Hugo Boss.
Hugo Boss.
I'm picturing, you know, you walking into like Molly's work in like a kind of rubber military gear, like officer and a gentleman style, like picking her up, you know. Walking out,
yeah.
I think that'd be beautiful. What a moment,
yeah. Yes,
isn't it?
Love lifts us up where we belong. Could I actually walk out with her?
Yeah,
you go, girl.
I'm all over that. I've never once dressed up and just thought I look sexy in and out. Do you know what? I have got, I might have I told this story on
the two girls about. I've seen you.
Oh, I have to dress up all the time for fancy dress things. Yeah. That wasn't so fancy dress, my wedding. So
when you were that fella from The Walking Dead,
Negan.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that was an instant boner for me, really.
Yeah, I thought you looked handsome. Yeah. You just genuinely look sexy, Stu. That's your problem.
I had done the fishnets thing. And have I not told you this?
No, carry on.
With my neighbours.
With your neighbours?
So this was
what
when
is
I was,
this?
Yeah, well, no, let me explain, right? So I was about 19 and I used to wear, in my band, I used to wear like fishnets on stage. And like, and I'd wear like all kinds of weird stuff. And I hadn't had these fishnets on stage before, and I bought them. And at the time, my parents were away, and I had like, remember in like the 90s, you'd get them like sort of sofa beds that when you pulled the cushions out, they went sort of flat to the ground. It was just a really cheap sofa bed. And I had one of them, and so my then girlfriend was staying over. And so we woke up one morning, and she was still laying in this bed. And I went, oh, I've got an outfit that I'm going to wear on stage tonight. Do you want to see it? She was like, yeah, go on in. So I've gone and put these fishnets on, and then I've come back into the bedroom, and I'm jumping about on the bed in these fishnets, dicking around. And then as I've looked, both my neighbours are in their back garden looking up at my bedroom window, knowing that my parents were on away, unaware that I've got a girlfriend that's laying on the floor. They've just seen me in the house on my own, wearing fishnets, dancing around like fucking Silence of the Lambs.
Amazing.
Wasn't a good look. So, yeah, I suppose I have been there. Yeah, maybe. I mean, yeah, Tim Curry, I was not. Did not look anything
Tim
like
Curry
that.
Tim Curry was top of the list.
I think he looks quite sexy in Legend as the big demon. Is that weird? Do I need to go and see someone about that?
I don't think the same. I mean, Link's not for me, so
please take a picture of what you wear when you go to Torture Garden, Chris.
You get so many mad pictures of me from, like, Molly's even, like, she keeps going, should I send that to you? And I'm like, please don't. Because I'm always posing stupidly.
Dude, and it's never going to be as bad as my wedding photo, is it?
No, it's,
ever.
That's true. That is true.
Like, because that's the combo of bad hair and bad suit. You can't come back from that.
I haven't seen this picture, and I'm interested in it.
Oh, it's terrible. I've got like about 6 haircuts on one head, and like all manner of highlights and a white suit. Like it's not a good look. It's really not. Like it's fucking tragic. In fact, I went with fashion over style, and I think if you're gonna have a suit for an occasion, go style, not fashion. Because
do you have these wedding pictures up around your house? You know how people like display their wedding pictures on like the mantelpiece. Is that a
situation? There's one, but it's behind a plant. It's bad. It is bad. Oh, dear. Right, so I guess we're kind of done, right?
Yeah.
We've been there. We've hit the number one spot.
Yeah.
Chris, can we throw a few honourable mentions in? To the most, when people talk about rock and roll excess and scandal, people always, you know, discuss Axl Rose and all of these like Motley Crues and things like that. Mate, every time, George Michael, absolute fucking dude.
Oh, like, I love him.
Like, just gets caught, you know, with his dinkle in a little glory hole with a copper. And what does he do? Makes the coolest fucking music video about it. And yeah, just owns it. Like, that's what Wayne Rooney needs to do. Behave like that. Like, yeah, I mean, what a sex scandal that was. George Michael getting caught in a toilet with a copper.
Yeah, oh, wow. Didn't he, like, a year later fall asleep behind his car after smoking, like, a joint? Fall asleep behind the wheel after smoking a joint or something like that. And then we just,
He drove it into Snappy Snaps, didn't he?
Drove it into Snappy Snaps, and then a graffiti artist the next day had done Wham on the side of the wall where he hit, which is fucking incredible.
Yeah, and he's just like, yeah. So?
Yeah. Yeah, and what? Fucking many toilets. Big deal.
Yeah, he's...
I think he also got high and got out of his car on, like, a motorway when he was driving along, or someone was driving, he just got out the car and took a proper tumble. Like, I just think he was just proper rock and roll, and every time just owned it and just went, oh yeah, do you know what? I was just the right helmet. And like, and you got, that's why I think people fucking love him. And that's why people don't love people like Wayne Rooney, because they kind of try and dodge it and swerve
There are some distinct differences in their behaviour as well. Like, it isn't just that he owned it. Like, the actions Rooney's taking. Like, if Ian Botham had gone, yeah, okay, I did that. Yeah. What did you think? But he didn't. But he tried to back.
No, but he then spent the last 30 years doing John O'Groats to Land's End every year to try and, you know, stick a bit of money in and do the charity thing. Yeah. Well,
Charlie said she would take down the tweet and then just tweet. Oops. That's how
she'd
deal with it.
I think I'd take it down and then I'd repost it. And I'd have highlighted in big marker my penis. I'd have just put a big circle around it and go, in case you missed it, here's my dick. And then I'd have killed myself.
Fitting tribute.
We did actually have another little honourable mention, which was a rumour that was flying around about Richard Gere putting gerbils up his butt.
Oh, of course, incredible. Yep.
Yeah,
I remember that.
It was everywhere, wasn't it? And and he was, the only thing he said about it was sometimes hamsters are mistaken for gerbils.
Brilliant. That is the art. That, I tell you what, that is how you deal with that scenario.
I know.
That is classy. What? That's brilliant.
There ain't no way.
Wasn't that why the pet shop
doing that?
That's amazing. Stu, why are the pet shop boys called the pet shop boys? Because they used to
that
be
very
the
reason.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I thought it might be a bit of my guesswork there, but
no.
Didn't they used to pop like I used to hear?
I don't know if they done it, but that's what. They're rumoured to be named after, yeah.
Popping animals up their butts. Bots.
That's fucking...
Pop it up your bottom.
I have, like, not firsthand, but I have, like, heard and seen things where, like, Japanese people, like, octopuses liking themselves and things like that. I don't think it's exclusive to Japanese people. Sorry about that generalisation.
Yeah.
But...
It's definitely a thing. It's definitely a thing because Stu was having a bad day the other day and I sent him a little picture of something that happened. These are the news feeds I get. Man dies after sticking eel up his anus to cure constipation.
Fucking hell, that'll make me stick yourself,
these things happen.
The thought process there of like, oh, do you know what? I really need to go. Like, what? No, them tablets ain't worked. No. you know what? I'm going to get an eel. Where do you get an eel from?
Yeah.
What do you think the eel's going to do? Like, eat the shit? Or, like, electrocute the shit and break it down? Like, what's the function of the eel here?
I don't know. And I imagine the eel was, like, quite resistant. So how do you put something up your arsehole that doesn't want to go up there?
They're fucking strong as well. Have you ever held one?
Yeah, mate.
No. They're like literally like, they're just all muscle. They're almost impossible to hold. I don't know how you're getting that up your ass.
Someone else can do that.
Charlie, why are you wrestling with an eel? Where was you trying to put it?
I used to have eels. I used to have a massive fish tank that had like all fucking sorts of like weird shit in it.
Well, you had an eel in your fish tank? Wow.
Yeah, it didn't last long. It was just weird. We just had the weird stuff when I was a kid. You know, like, I have one of those dads that just used to bring, like, random stuff home and then just leave. Well, here you go. Here's an eel. What would you do that? Oh, I've got a fish tank, just a huge, massive, giant fish tank coming in. And then just, like, yeah. That's what my dad used to do. And then it's like, see you later. Yeah.
An eel is one thing, though. It's slippery and long. Right, that's one thing to get up your butthole. How do you get a furry animal up there? I just can't. I've never been able to get my head around it.
I think you put a tube up there first, didn't you? Apparently.
I was going to say that would be the way that I would do it.
Yeah, funnel.
Maybe one with like a point at the end that you could sort of like open up. Or like, you know, those hamster cages that have got the tubes. You just connect the tube from the hamster cage to your arsehole.
So what?
Maybe put the little wheel in the middle just as a bit of fun and rope.
What happens once it's like? Does it go through the tube? Then it just enters your arsehole and like it's just scurrying around. I don't.
Yeah.
That's just a lot of creative thinking.
Room to scurry. I think it'd more be like
it's
scurry.
It's
a very strong, powerful muscle, isn't it? The colon. So I can imagine it would just be trying to squeeze it out.
Yeah.
We'd just die, wouldn't it?
Yeah, suffocate. I would have bolted.
That is the worst death. That is the worst death. Being crushed in someone's shitty colon. That's the most cruel thing you could do to an animal. Bloody
cancer as well.
That you haven't eaten. Yeah, just whole.
Yeah, undigested hamster. But fucking nice to know, isn't it?
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to flush it, would you? You'd have to like get it out.
Just expand as soon as it hits water.
I should also point out that this is exactly the kind of stuff that you get week in, week out on the Two Girls, One Shot podcast.
Yeah. I don't know if you can help me, but I've got a hamster stuck up my ass. We did have a woman once who came in who had lost a vibrator in herself. And we were like, you need to go to the...
Why she come to you? That's
the first port of call.
Like you've got some kind of sex toy x-ray machine.
Yeah, I'll just pop out the back. Spread your legs. Like, I don't know.
Oh, we've got a little gizmo to get those out.
Yeah. Well, the first thing you think of is like batteries. But having something sort of solid stuck up to you that won't come down is one thing. But having something that could potentially like leak and burn you from the inside is like another, isn't it?
Oh.
I'd probably just pop myself to A&E.
Yeah.
You'd have to just fucking swallow your pride and go, wouldn't you? You can add that thing in you. Especially if it's still on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love those like sex accident programs where they're like, they've had to go and rescue a man from some sort of hotel room and he's like sat on like the bed knob and he's like, I was walking around naked and I slipped and like it went up my arsehole and they're like, what is this condom doing stretched over the fucking bed? Everyone knows what it's doing there, so just
deal with it. Yeah. Just go, look, I've a misadventure. I had to get some cream that you could use in certain different parts of the body. It happens to be from a penis. And the woman at the in the chemist just went to me. I don't know why she asked. Maybe there's obviously a professional reason why she had to ask. But I'm kind of one of these people who will have to double down just to get my way out of it. I'd rather just get it all out there and just deal with that than try and, like, most of the time bullshit my way out of things. I'm not saying I haven't done that as well. But she just basically went, and where's this for? And I just went, for my dick. And she couldn't believe how, like...
Did you say it like that?
Pretty much in that tone.
For my dick.
And she was just like, oh, wow, I didn't expect you to be quite so... Because there was other people in the chemist. Because I thought she'd painted me in a corner there. I didn't know how to respond. So instead of going a bit more like in a private area, I just threw out dick.
Yeah.
And I felt I embarrassed her.
I felt a bit bad about it
afterwards.
And I just think,
she's minding her own fucking business.
Yeah,
exactly.
I hate that. Yeah. Like, we've receptionists at doctors, and they're like, can I ask what it's for? I don't know, Linda. Can you ask what it's for? Can you give me any fucking information? Are you a trained medical professional? Then no, you cannot ask me what it's for. I'll talk to my doctor. Thank you.
Yeah.
I quite like a chat with Linda because I find doctors' receptionists some of the most fun people to mess with because at my doctors, I get there. And I walk in and I walk up to the desk and I go, hello. And there's two women sitting there with their heads down at a computer that don't even look up.
Yeah.
and I just think, I'm well involved now, and I'm like, I'm not just going to go and sit down or be polite. I'm just like, what are you up to? And like, and then you cross that line of where they then realise you're not going to fuck off, and it's just like, I just want to check that I'm here, and my appointment is still happening. And like, and one of them's got like that headphone thing on, and I just think, I know you ain't answering that phone, because I've tried phoning for about 3 hours and no one ever answers. So that's why I'm here. Yeah. They're a very unique, and I tell you what, the same people work in school offices as well. Hello, I just like to, and they talk to you. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, are you a teacher? Oh, are you the head? No, you're not. You're the receptionist. So don't think you have any authority over anyone.
I have seen that, and it does tend to be in doctors' receptions when people just finish their banal conversation. That's the one that fucking winds me up. Mm. When it's not to do with their job at all. It's a banal conversation, and they can see you standing there, and they're talking about, you know, it could be about cereal, and you just think, I'm here, I've got it's time to do some work now. And they're like, and they're just deep in a banal, yeah, it winds me up. Yeah. I feel you, Shu. I feel you.
Thanks, brother. Right. Well, we'll be back next week. In the meantime, go check out Two Girls, One Shop podcast. Charlie, Nina, always a pleasure.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's been lovely. Lovely chatting. Good luck with season 3.
Thank you very much.
And we'll see you for our fourth episode at some point, hopefully.
People will be like, well, fucking having those same people on there. In love of God. We will when we reach the right amount of downloads and followers on our Instagram posts and podcast. So we'll keep coming back until we hit our targets. That's a threat.
Absolutely. Right. We'll see you next time.
Yeah. See you later. Yeah.
Bye. Thank
you. It's a drunken soiree in the within.
Chris and Stu present Our Core Listing, the podcast.